Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The youth will be meeting here tomorrow night. All of the youth meeting here tomorrow at 7. Praise God. They've been enjoying a good spring break. And not looking very springy out there right now, but it is warming up. Praise God. Luke 9 and 23. Let's read that passage together. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Praise God. That's an open invitation, isn't it? Any man. And come after me. Follow me. Same thing. But then look, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Everybody say daily.
Daily.
Daily. It's not a Easter time thing. Not a, you know, just a time when we commemorate that, but it's daily. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Now, obviously, that's got negative connotations when you think of a cross. And by the way, it's interesting that he makes mention of the cross long before he was nailed to one. So the Roman method of execution was well known and widespread even at this point. Just a terrible thing. But the Lord is using this instance to help us to understand that daily there's going to be a connection with him. And daily, there's going to be the cutting off of self and self's interests, and instead a focus on following him. And that was to be done daily. Because probably, and we have record of it, there were those who followed the Lord into a desert place, and the Lord had compassion on them and used fishes and loaves to provide for them. And what an amazing miracle they saw unfold right before their eyes, and they received the benefit of it. But when he began to teach very straight and very strong, a group here began to wander off, another group over here, and the thousands dwindled to hundreds, until the Lord would turn to his disciples and ask them, will you also go away? May God bless Brother Peter and his outspokenness, because he certainly spoke the truth there. Where are we going to go? Nobody else has eternal words, has eternal life like you. And we're sure, and we believe it surely. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So it was necessary for them not to go away, but to follow after and stay with the Lord. But lest we fall into the devil's trick here and think it's all negative, let's think it's all, oh no, this cross business. Think of a couple of things here. Let me point them out to you. Psalm 68 and 19 makes use of the word daily, and it encourages worship. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Amen. That pause, that consider and commit and recognize how important it is. Amen. Suspend the music. music has to have rest anyway, doesn't it? Otherwise, it's all just conglomeration, but it was a dutiful recognition of something to consider here. Praise God. He daily loads us with benefits. And worship sometimes can be seen in a negative connotation, I guess, as well. But oh my, we're privileged people to be able to gather in His name and to lift Him up. Praise God. Job suffered loss, but yet his response was worship. He fell down on his face and worship. Praise God. And the psalmist points out the God of our salvation, who brought us so great salvation. And the connection is easy to make. The reason it's so great is because God is so great. Amen. And we lift Him up and exalt Him. Isaiah 12 makes mention of, with joy you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. But look at verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Praise God. Salvation mentioned those three times in those two short verses because it is so great. A daily load of benefits. Thank God. Great abundance, great blessing, and consistently daily. Amen. That's what we receive. The Lord taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, the connection probably was manna, wasn't it? And the day that the Lord hath made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. And know that daily He's going to provide. Praise the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, He told the old deceiver, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank the Lord. Jesus being that bread of life. You know, I was thinking the other day how often life is connected with what the Lord would say. And I thought about the bread of life. I thought about the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, His many promises about eternal life, everlasting life. Praise God. That's a good emphasis because going the other way is death. It's destruction. It's loss. It's devastation. But thank God we can avoid those disasters and hold on to the divine plan that the Lord has for us. Praise God, because He desires us to receive from Him. And so bread, our Bible reading program, is just a good opportunity to daily put that word in your life. Acts chapter 2, sometimes there's a tendency to stop at verse 38. And, we know we go on all the way through 28 chapters. But sometimes in that chapter, there is a tendency to halt at verse 38, maybe go on to verse 39. But verse 42 says they continued. And that has a, you know, insinuation that they did it daily. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And certainly, there needs to be a daily aspect of those four principles. Making sure teaching, and teaching the apostles' doctrine, not just any old thing. Fellowship, breaking bread, prayers. Amen. Well, fellowship and food, we tend to have those down pretty good. And it's good. Amen. And prayer equally as prominent. Because, again, we know how powerful it is. We know how effective it is. Thank the Lord. Verse 47 of chapter 2 makes mention of a daily occurrence as well. They were praising God. They were having favor with all the people. Now, that's revival. That's the power of God. And the Lord added daily to the church. Amen. And thank the Lord, there was salvation that came to those individuals on a daily basis. Thank the Lord. And all the people, that's pretty amazing. It was noised abroad. It spread like wildfire. Explosive growth. And the influence couldn't be ignored. And all the people were impacted and were aware of this group that was praising God. And the noise couldn't be contained. They made fun of them. They mocked, said they're just drunk when they received the Spirit. But Peter explained, these are not drunken as ye suppose. Reminded me of a message that somebody preached. Maybe you were there. Brother Huntley? What, we're not as drunk as we're supposed to be? One old preacher, that's how he rendered it. Not drunken as you suppose, but we're not as drunk as we're supposed to be. You weren't at that message?
I don't know if because of time it was.
No, this was IBC,
oh.
Calvary,
so.
Mid-America. You guys weren't there. That was way before your time. But we're not as drunk as we're supposed to be. In the spirit, that is. Praise God. And the power of the Lord came into that service in a wonderful way, and I'm thankful. No, I saw it on video. Amen. I'd like to have been there. That would have been awesome. Praise the Lord. But the Lord added to the church daily. Praise God. And thank the Lord. He, you know, we're not a bunch of independents. We're not just going along and saying, well, I'll have fellowship every now and then. Yeah. I don't need fellowship. I'm independent. The Lord brought us into a family. The Lord brought us into a church. Both of them very social. And both of them interdependent.
Yeah.
And praise God. What a great arrangement.
Yes.
What a great idea. Thank the Lord that he provided for that. Now, Acts 5 and 42. Here's this continuing now. Daily in the temple and in every house.
Yes.
You know, we might tend to think that's an exaggeration.
No.
We might tend to think, ooh, boy, that's evangelistically speaking. But remember, all the people had gave them favor.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they were open, especially after seeing the man that more than likely all of the population of Jerusalem at least could recognize and say, he's been begging here ever since I've been alive,
yeah.
You know, 40 years.
Yeah.
And then to see him leaping and walking and praising God, that's got to get your attention. Amen. And all of the people, of course, being very excited about it. And so they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They ceased not daily. They were doing this work for the Lord. See, your testimony is important. No doubt the lame man made whole was the center of attention for the most part. But when those people, the 3,000 plus who received the Holy Ghost, would go to their homes, go to their workplace, go to their families, their friends, their testimony was just as important. Amen. Especially being baptized in the name of Jesus and being filled with His Spirit. Amen. And some might say, well, that's not a miracle. That's not in the class of the lame man being made whole. Oh, yes, it is. Praise God. Because the lame man was going to have situations in his advancing years. He'd start to feel pains and be less agile and a little more fragile. And but the Holy Ghost and fire keeping me alive. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Your testimony is so important and needs to be shared. Praise God. Somebody said silence is golden. Silence is golden, but sometimes just plain yellow. In other words, being afraid, being hesitant, being intimidated. Oh, no. Your testimony is worth telling. Your witness is worth sharing. Praise God. And the power of the Lord that will be displayed there as we testify and witness about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Amen. And daily they did this. Now, as we mentioned before, the book of Acts sometimes can be read as though it only encompasses a few months at the most, a year or two, but actually it does span a great length of time. So in Acts 16, we're talking about, and I don't know how many years this would be, we're talking about several years having gone by from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Yep. Any idea? Yeah, I don't know either. 20 years. Okay, that couple of decades have gone by, and the Samaria revival has broken out. The revival among the Gentiles with Cornelius and Caesarea has broken out. I mean, there's some incredible things that have already happened, but they're still at it. Acts 16 and 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Wow. Revival's still happening. And now, and remember, chapter 8 has tremendous persecution going on. Not tremendous in the sense that it's wonderful, but tremendous in the sense that it's widespread. It's huge. They're mistreating the Christians terribly. But yet, this is what's going on. And the power of God is still being displayed daily. Praise God. And there was that daily increase. And it wasn't fame, it wasn't fortune, it wasn't stocks, it wasn't portfolios, it wasn't bank accounts, it was souls. Souls. Amen. And that's the Lord saying, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. Like somebody said, revival. Without it, nothing else matters. With it, nothing else matters. Praise God. You've got to have that revival. Now, let's look at daily from what Jesus said as far as taking up your cross. And Samson is far removed from what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 9. But Samson typifies someone who has great power when the Spirit of God is moving, the Spirit of God is working. I thought about Daniel 11 and 32, I think it is, that they which do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Do exploits, not be exploited, but do exploits, praise God, and especially that nasty old devil. Exploit that strong man that's in that prayer that we pray daily. Amen. That's who we want to exploit, because a stronger than he is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank God. Not excuses, exploits. Amen. Praise God. What did Jesus tell his disciples when they came back to him in Luke chapter 10? Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Praise God. And that kind of power and authority is still available. I believe it's even multiplied. Praise God. And the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Thank the Lord. That kind of power is what we have today. So, the Spirit of God coming upon Samson, was demonstrative of the power that he could display. And we won't spend a lot of time there. You're familiar with the story. Let me jump ahead to Delilah. She sought the secret of his strength. And Samson may have known, probably didn't. It was a secret agreement among those who approached Delilah and offered her 1,100 pieces of silver. Each would pay her 1,100 pieces of silver if she could find the secret of his strength. Sadly, she was for sale. And, the right price was found. And so, Judges 16:16, she pressed him daily. Now, you read the account, and we know of three instances where, the whole scenario unfolded. Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. He got up, he broke those seven green withes, he broke those new ropes, and he demonstrated his power. How in the world did he miss the fact that she was involved? That is just so odd. Kind of reminds me of the guy in the hospital bed. He had nothing but misfortune. My goodness, he was having a tough time, and his wife was sitting there with him, and he was kind of reminiscing. Edith, you were with me when my business failed, weren't you? Yeah, I was there. You were with me when my building burned down. Yeah, I was there. And Edith, when I was injured, you were right there with me. Yes, I was. He paused for a moment and said, Edith, you're bad luck. How did Samson miss that Delilah was bad luck? How did he miss that? Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And she's the one who wheedled that information out of him. She's the one that arranged for it all to be in place, for him to be tied up and so on. And she pressed him daily. After those three instances, how many more situations did he survive through? Oh man, he should have slipped away and not slept on her lap. He should have said, feet, do your thing. Get me out of here. See, Satan, you know this, Satan is going to tempt you daily. Satan is going to press you daily. Satan is going to pursue you daily with his temptations and so on. But what you do then is just resist him daily. Praise God. Amen. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. Brother Mike?
Part of that, I think, was because it wasn't even his covenant. It was his parents' covenant that they made with God.
Okay.
And
he did take it for granted. Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he got up just like any other time. He thought, I'm going to beat the fire out of him just like I did before. But he didn't know the spirit of the Lord was departed. A Laodicea spirit. He didn't even know. Didn't even know. Lukewarm. And it's a sad story. It really is. I know he won victory at the end, and he killed more in his death than he did in his life, but it was premature.
Yes.
My goodness, how much more could have happened had he stayed pure, had he stayed where he needed to be? How many more chapters in the book of Judges would be reading of Samson's exploits? But he became exploited. Oh, no, resist that roaring lion. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. And let the power of God come upon you. Praise God. Now, we didn't read verse 23 in the chapter, Luke 9. We didn't read that. He said, come after me. Come after me. Along with that, follow me. If any man come after me. And thank God there's that come unto me. That rings the same way. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. If you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. Praise God. And that denying of self is what is important here. Take up your cross daily. Amen. Take up your cross and follow me. And they did. They followed the Lord. They did continue in their walk with him, their time with him. And unfortunately, there came that time of the arrest, and Peter waving the sword around, and then they all ran. They all fled. You know, we single out Peter and saying, wait, you said you were going to die with him. Actually, they all said that. They all said that they would die with him. But praise God, I'm glad Peter followed the Lord.
Yeah.
Followed him afar off, but he followed the Lord.
Yeah.
Which led to the three denials, but thank God there was forgiveness that was awaiting him as well. And I believe he followed Jesus to the cross, and he followed the body to the tomb, and then he ran to an empty tomb.
Yes.
Praise God. An empty tomb. And then continued following the Lord. Preached on the day of Pentecost. Received the promise of the Spirit. Amen. And the rest of his life, giving witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Praise God. And the power of the Lord being displayed in his life daily. Daily. Amen. The Apostle Paul, coming sometime later in chapter 9. But he really grabbed a hold of this idea of a daily walk with the Lord also. 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, and this is interesting. 1 Corinthians 15, when you look at it, it's about resurrection. It's about life. It's about the coming of the Lord. But yet he slips verse 31 in here as a real key. Only three words. I die daily. He was serious about that, wasn't he? He was desiring to emphasize this aspect of I'm gonna serve God, and I'm gonna make sure my self is not gonna supersede the Spirit, because the Spirit is what's gonna give us life. That's what's gonna bring the change. We're not all gonna just lie in death. We're not all gonna sleep. We're gonna be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then he goes on about the hope of the resurrection, the hope of the rapture, and how powerful that is. But he recognized this necessity. I die daily. Serious about it. Now, did he witness the crucifixion? He may have. He may have been part of that condemning party that happened the night before. And he may have wandered by that hill and saw the three crosses. He may have. But he was serious about crucifixion. Serious about the spiritual aspect there that needed to happen in his life. Look at Galatians 5 and 24. We know he would emphasize that point. I die daily. And then Galatians 5 and 24. Those that are Christ. If you identify with him, you belong to him, you're following after him, you're coming after him, just like he said. Then it's obvious that you crucified the flesh. All of its passions, all of its desires, all of its affections that would be there. You've crucified it.
Yeah.
You've put it to death. Galatians 6 and 14. He is so adamant about it. He is so strong on this point. And this is what Jesus was saying. Take up your cross and follow me. He speaks of a double death, a double crucifixion. The world is crucified to me, and I to the world. That, you know, he's emphasizing it so strong there, and wanting it to be a part of how he would exercise this need of cutting off the flesh and its desires and promoting the things of the Spirit. That's why in Romans 7, I appears so many times, and then in Romans 8, it changes. It's no longer I, it's Spirit. And he emphasizes Spirit. And because he knows the importance of the transition from I to Spirit and having that touch of the Lord in his life. Amen. I die daily. Now, let me just ask you to consider. We encourage a couple of daily activities. The bread reading program. Bible reading enriches any day. And you might read ahead. You might fall behind and you catch up. Or you might read it just, you know, the check mark for the day that it's supposed to be there. However you read it, you know the benefit of that daily looking into the Word of God. Amen. And the daily prayer that we pray. Now, that prayer, page and a half or one page, it can be done probably 5 minutes if you just read it word for word. If you expanded on it, if you expanded on the parts about your family, you expanded on the parts about the church, and you expanded on the part about your pastor, you know, you added more that you're praying about, I doubt that it would be much more than 10 minutes. So maybe 10 minutes, 5 more minutes for Bible reading, depending on how quickly you read those 3 chapters or 4 chapters, whatever they are. You're spending 15 minutes daily, about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. That's what you're taking. Okay, 15 minutes. That's what we'll work with. Probably less for most of you. You can read pretty fast. How much time, by comparison, is that to other activities that you do? Now, I encouraged our youth, or anybody who is gaming, to use a timer. And when that timer goes off, you're done. An hour, How long, bro? 2 hours? Whatever amount of time that, whatever would be reasonable, I guess. But 2 hours of gaming compared to 15 minutes in the scripture and prayer, that 1 hour is four times as much. 2 hours is eight times as much. I'm not trying to squelch those things. I'm just trying to get you to recognize you do things daily. You do a lot of things daily. Make sure you're not neglecting that which is going to affect eternity. Daily. Amen. And praise God, we're already seeing results. We're already seeing the hand of God move in a powerful way. Thank the Lord. And we encourage people to come. We invite people to come. We're trying to find families to come so our Sunday school grows. But here comes people that nobody invited. Nobody contacted. Here they come, right in the building. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost touches them in a powerful way. Praise the Lord. Now, we've got to be patient. Hard to be patient. Oh, where are they? How come they're not here? Yeah. No, patience. And let the Lord do the work. And we do our part. We do our work. And we see those new ones start to become a part. The fellowship. Praise God. The prayer. The apostles' doctrine. Amen. Breaking bread. And daily, they're going to establish their walk with the Lord. But they've got to have examples. And not examples of, going another direction. or minimizing the spiritual things and maximizing the stuff that is just entertaining. Paul said, Galatians 2 and 20, and here he's continuing this crucified idea again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He's getting kind of puzzling here. What are you talking about, Paul? Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. And so naturally, he's emphasizing the, I'll give myself to him. He gave himself for me. I'm going to give myself to him. And the context of the passage in Luke 9, in verse 24, Jesus talks about if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your life. You're going to save it. And he goes back and forth like that. Save your life, yet lose it. Lose your life in the Lord, yet save it. And then he makes a very important statement. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Eternity has got to be in the equation there with every daily activity that we put forth. Your soul and eternity is at stake. So how important it is. Because the world's going to pass away. The world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Forever. Amen. That's why take up that cross. Amen. And in verse 25, the Lord is admonishing about a castaway. We don't want to be a castaway. And Paul said it so strongly after he made mention of athletes in 1 Corinthians 9. And we just had the Winter Olympics and marvel at the skill and the ability and the craziness of what some of those people do. My word, ridiculous, flying through the air upside down and all somersaults and spins and everything. Landing backwards on those jumps, taking a jump backwards. I want to see where I'm going. If I was crazy enough to go off that jump, I want to see. They go backwards. Anyway, Paul is making reference of those athletes. And remember, the Olympics started in Greece. And he is probably familiar with some of it. And Roman soldiers being competitive as they are, there were probably different things that he saw, different events. And so, natural for him to talk about an athlete. And he said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, something that is going to pass away, but we an incorruptible. And so he said, then, therefore, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not just, you know, punching at the air. I've got a goal. I've got an objective. Lest that after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. He was serious about making sure that was not going to happen and making sure that was not going to take place. Amen. Not a castaway. Praise God. I like to remind myself of where the devil's going to end up, in the bottomless pit. Cast in there. Cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. And I'm not going to be a castaway, but praise God, he's going to be cast away into those places. Praise God. I'm going where there's no tears, no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no death. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's the benefit, and a daily benefit. Praise God. For the revival that the Lord's able to bring to us. Take up your cross and follow a victorious Christ. The cross, thank the Lord, is not the final picture. There is an empty tomb. There is a resurrected Lord. There is one who is champion of the church and victorious, praise God, triumphant. And he passes that on to us so that we could follow him and walk with him. Let's stand tonight. Thank the Lord for that power and that blessing that he's able to give. Amen. The basketball tournament is going on right now, and teams flying all over the place and playing games. There's a whole bunch of games going on. The ladies' tournament will be starting. The national invitation tournament is going in New York, and lots of hollering, lots of money being spent, lots of late nights with the games and so on. Who won last year? Villanova? Can't remember. UConn didn't win. The ladies, South Carolina did. I remember that one. But my goodness, it's so fleeting. It's so temporary. Praise God. You know that saying that nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I spent more time at work. I wish I spent more time at the office. Nobody does that. They all say, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. I wish I'd spent more time with my loved ones. When you get to heaven, I don't think it's going to be a wishing. I think there's going to be rejoicing that you did spend time with him, that you did immerse yourself in the Word. Well, you know, 15 minutes, that's really not immersing yourself. But you know what I mean. Yep. You're going to rejoice that you were in church on a Thursday night. Praise God. And you took time to testify. You took time to share on social media about miracles that are happening. Praise God. And the power of God that's there. Amen. I think that it's going to be, I'm so glad, so glad, amen, that I made it. So glad that I didn't let it slip by. Praise God. Can we come and pray tonight? See, because there's got to be the determination that I'm going to make it. That's why Paul would emphasize, I am crucified with Christ. That's why he would go on and on about it, and I die daily, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, and the world is crucified to me, and I'm crucified to the world. It's not because he has a death wish. It's not because he's trying to be morbid, but he's trying to help us to understand this world is temporal. It's not going to last. Focus on what is eternal. Our light affliction that endures for a moment works for us a far greater weight of glory. Praise God. And it's hard to believe that when we're experiencing the pain. It's hard for us to have faith to grab a hold of that verse when we're hurting. It's not a light affliction. It hurts. But oh, we think of that eternal weight of glory. Praise God. Praise God. And we think about those who are over there waiting for us. Praise God. They made it. They made it through. Praise God. And oh, the welcome. The welcome that's going to be there. We cross that finish line, as it were. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, yalikesu larama pa shoko tilaramaha. Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, my Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.